Hey, kids, you're listening to A Couple of Annoyed Grunt Boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast. That's right, we're the Simpsons Podcast that only discusses the animated sitcom The Simpsons from seasons 11 and beyond, and the new episodes when they air. Why do we do it that way? Well, there's plenty of other podcasts out there that have discussed the Golden Age, that being seasons 1 through 10, so we were cursed by the entity known as the Wheel of Random to watch episodes and talk about them. That's how podcasting works, right? You see, I say we, I don't do this alone. Sadly, I'm just half of annoyed grunt boy, Craig. And sadly, with me, as always, is the other sad, annoyed grunt boy.
Hey, it's Steve. Hi, Craig.
I only called you sad because you got like a 7-10 split there. If you can't tell that background noise, yes, we're in a bowling alley. In honor of this episode, we thought we'd play a couple rounds of bowling and talk about this episode.
Yeah, I always choke when I throw down and pick it up on the next pair. But how are you doing, Craig?
Doing great. I'm not choking like you, because you can see I definitely got a nice score up there.
Yeah.
Man, this bowling. You know what's so great about bowling, Steve?
What's that?
It's the only sport where you can drink beer.
Why, that brings us to our favorite segment, the Simpsons Beer Corner. We're here in the bowling alley. This episode's all about bowling. And so I thought, you know, why not get a beer inspired by the art of bowling? And so I thought about, like, you know, I would find this new beer that's completely original. And who's the most famous bowler that you can think of? I don't know, some dude, you know, who wears like a sweater. He's got a beard. And I'm talking about the dude, the Big Lebowski. So that's why I've got, from Pelican Brewing, I don't know if you've heard of them, Craig, they're out of Oregon, the Brood Abides. This is a white Russian-inspired milk stout. You know, all brewers like a cocktail from time to time, but how about the best of both worlds in this cocktail-inspired beer, taking inspiration from the classic white Russian cocktail, as well as the movie that made it famous, The Brood Abides, is a milk stout with vanilla, coffee, and cocoa. This unique beer pours a chocolate color with dense off-white color head and entices the senses with an aromatic bouquet of vanilla, coffee, and dark chocolate. I mean, doesn't that sound great?
Really does.
Comes in at 7%. I don't know if this is the kind of beer that we'd be into, but I'm going to give it a try. Oh, man, that's real good. It's like drinking a white Russian, but it's also a beer.
If I came across that beer, I probably would have bought it at least twice.
Yeah, it's funny, like, drinking this, I really enjoy it, but I'm also thinking, Craig would love this beer.
Did you know that it's also the 25th anniversary of the Big Lebowski this year?
That's right, it is.
Yeah.
I think they're re-releasing it in some theaters.
That beer sounds wonderful. One of these days, I gotta get my hands on that.
Yeah, sometime, if you're, like, over at the house or something, you'll have to try it. But for now, I'll enjoy it for myself for the first time ever. What have you got first, Craig?
Well, Steve, in keeping with the bowling theme, and then you bringing up the Big Lebowski, who was the kind of the villain of that movie in the bowling alley?
Oh, I mean, that's got to be Jesus.
Yes, he had his own spinoff movie, which I have never seen, and it's not that good.
That's what I hear, too.
Because, you know, that sequel movie is all about Jesus, even, like, more Jesus than the first movie. Mm-hmm. That's why I went with Evil Twin Brewing's Even More Jesus.
Oh.
Yes, it's a as the copy writes, a few times in the history of craft beer, it has happened that the highly praised beer rises beyond mortal stardom into a higher godly league, like bowling league, right? Mm-hmm. Usually, the recipe to make such heavenly drops is thick fudge like body, pitch black color, amazingly overwhelming aromas of chocolate, coffee, dark fruits, and muscovado sugar. Obviously, ooh, only made in limited amounts, this most crucial of all, it must taste rare. It's 12% alcohol by volume.
Whoa.
It's a stout, an imperial stout. The can's not very kid-friendly. It's just that sunburst background flare type of thing with gold writing that says Evil More Jesus. Like, it's very holy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like bowling with the balls.
Exactly.
It's brewed by Evil Twin Brewing out of Stratford, Connecticut. Oh, wow. Steve, this beer. Have you ever had this one?
I actually have, and it's incredible.
It's for coffee lovers, I think, is the...
Yeah.
Steve, did you review this on our podcast?
I would never.
Okay, that'd be so embarrassing if you reviewed a beer that one of us has already reviewed.
We run a tight ship here at the 138th podcast, and there's no way that we would review a
the
beer.
What podcast? Just the 138th podcast.
This is the type of tight ship that we run. That we at the 138th Simpsons podcast.
There you go.
We only review a beer once. We never revisit it a second or even third time.
It'd be like so easy for us to figure out what beer we've reviewed because of like our social media.
Of course.
Just to do that. Simple research, but not that. Yeah, this beer is great. Very dark, nice stuff. Like, definitely not a two, because I'm drinking a pint. This is not, I'm not going to drink two pints of this.
Yeah,
that probably sounds sloppy through the rest of the episode, which is normal.
Yeah, but I'm sure we'll stay on topic and not go off the rails at all.
Off the lanes into the gutter?
Indeed.
All right, well, Steve, let's get our minds into the gutter of The Simpsons, because it's about bowling. There's bowling in this episode, Steve. So let's take us back to the year of 2023, specifically March 19th, when this episode aired. Steve, what was the number one movie in the box office?
The number one movie was Shazam, The Fury of the Gods.
I enjoyed it. Had fun. I recommend it. Shazam, Gods Must Be Furies. Thumbs up.
Alrighty. So while you were enjoying that film, and you stepped out of the car, said, oh man, the light's so bright. But you hopped in your car, turned on the radio. What were we listening to?
Well, funny enough, Steve, I saw Shazam last night, which is also the name of the song by Morgan Wallen. Wallen. Yeah. Last night.
No way it was our last night. I kissed your lips. Make you grip the sheets with your fingertips. Last bottle of Jack, we split a fifth. Just talking about life, going sip for sip. Yeah, you know you love to fight. And I say shit I don't mean. But I'm still gonna wake up on you and me. I know that last night we let the liquor talk. I can't remember everything we said.
Is this the first time we've ever had like a country song as the number one song?
I do believe so, yes.
So I'm not familiar with pop country.
Yeah.
And last week we brought our friend ChatGPT into the conversation. So here's what ChatGPT said. I said, write a country song called Last Night about a man who messed up his relationship with a woman. Because that's all what country songs are, right?
Right.
Here we go. Last night I messed up, said some things I can't take back. I hurt the woman I love with every word I spoke out of whack. I took for granted all the love she gave me. Now she's gone, I'm left with only memories. Last night I lost her, my heart is aching. I can't stop thinking about the mistakes I'm making. I let my pride get in the way. Now I'm paying the price. Last night I messed up and lost the love of my life.
I wish I could go back and change the things I said. Didn't realize how much I needed her until she left my bed. I always thought I was right, but I was wrong this time. Now I'm sitting here alone, listening to her favorite rhyme. Last night I lost her. My heart is aching. Can't stop thinking about the mistakes I'm making. I let my pride get in my way. Now I'm paying the price. Last night I messed up and lost the love of my life.
Last night I messed up. Now I'm paying the price.
I lost the love of my life and it hurts like a knife.
Like, it hurts like a knife. All right, AI, that's the best lyric ever.
Yeah.
So how is this different than the Morgan Wallen last night?
I mean, it's kind of just more streamlined. Like, it's a more efficient song, I gotta say.
Oh, robots are gonna make our favorite songs. I haven't finished the Morgan Wallen song. I don't think we will, but maybe next week if it's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what that sounds like in the future.
Alrighty. What we should talk about is a man who made a Bart.
Matt Groening?
Yeah, exactly. And The Simpsons.
And we're gonna be talking about Pen Gal, in which a mysterious figure, as we all know, is going to be Jacques from Marge's past, returns to coach her for a bowling tournament. And in the B story, Lisa does a great Burgess Meredith impersonation.
That's right.
Steve, let's finish our beers and then come back, regroup, and talk about this episode.
Sounds like a plan.
We'll be right back. I know you packed your shit and slammed the door right before you left. And we're back today. We're talking about Pen Gal. It's the 17th episode of the 34th season, originally aired March 19th, 2023. It's episode 745 in the show's run. The nerd code is OABF10, written by Jeff Westbrook, directed by Chris Clements, and your showrunner is Al Jean and Matt Selman.
Yes.
I his executive producer. Isn't that usually when the when it says executive producer, dot, dot, that's the showrunner?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw Matt Selman's name at the end of this episode.
Various websites change, and they sometimes give Selman credit, and sometimes they don't. But I think he's just pretty much co-showrunner with Al Jean at this point.
Sorry if we forget your name, Matt Selman, or Tim Long, or Jeff Westbrook. I'm sure Jeff Westbrook is a showrunner these days, right?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. We're going to be showrunners in probably 2 years.
Maybe three, but yeah.
And then the show gets canceled.
Yeah, like, oh, that was the limit.
You know, like how like fandom in general should never interfere with the product that they think that they own, like us. Like, I own The Simpsons. You know, I don't have that kind of feeling. You're like,
right,
the Star Wars fans out there, they're like, ooh, this is how Star Wars should go, you know? And if you said, okay, nerd, you write Star Wars and see how it happens.
Yeah.
It's like the whole Patton Oswalt, like, filibuster in that episode of Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the people we don't want to write our stories, and that's who we are. We're the Patton Oswalt of The Simpsons.
The only thing that I'll say is that I don't feel that The Simpsons owe us anything.
Oh, hell no. I feel like what we're doing is a... that's going to sound bad if I said a service, but, like, we're a podcast that embraces and enjoys The Simpsons, and the point of, like, doing the new episodes is to be, like, to the OG fans from the 90s who left the show after, like, season 10, to make them come back, listen to us.
Yeah.
So you watch the Simpsons.
Right. We are pro The Simpsons.
We're cheerleaders.
Exactly. That's all we are.
We have between us, we have four beautiful pom-poms. I don't know what that means. That's dumb. I apologize for being dumb today.
I mean, yeah, today. The other 216 episodes, you were a genius.
Yeah, thanks.
But yeah, speaking of the old days and the new days, Jeff Westbrook, he has written for The Simpsons and Futurama. He's written 22 episodes of The Simpsons, and this is the 10th one that we're reviewing.
Hmm.
He goes all the way back to season 16, but we reviewed Kill Gil Volume 1 and 2 way back in December. Nolan Again Naturally, Pranks and Greens, The Nedliest Catch, Ned and Edna's Blend Agenda, The Wreck of the Relationship, Let's Go Fly a Coot, The Road to Cincinnati, which we loved, and Girls Just Shauna Have Fun. So a lot of Ned episodes, some Grandpa episodes, and, you know, we get the Marge episode here.
Hey, we just put up Girls Just Shauna Have Fun on our YouTube channel.
Ooh, fun. Be sure to check that out.
It's our same podcast, but now you can just watch us on a still frame.
Amazing. Isn't that exciting?
Hey, I do recommend going to our YouTube page and clicking on the closed caption, it's great that YouTube has that feature for hopefully some hearing impaired people watch the podcast or read the podcast. But, you know, it's an algorithm or AI or whatever that's deciphering our words. And sometimes what we say isn't what's written. I think a couple times I saw we were referred to as annoyed Grandpa Craig or annoyed drunk boys. Which
honestly, both are fairly accurate. Yeah. I mean, we're like a couple of old grandpas.
I mean, we don't have kids, and our kids that don't exist don't have kids. But I kind of always feel like I relate to Abe.
It's sure. Like, yeah.
Yeah. My kind of kindred spirit of The Simpsons. Old Jewish man, maybe, or
Jasper.
Jasper. Yeah. But we're definitely not Hans Moleman. He's too much of a wimp. We're big, strong alpha types, right?
Oh, yeah. When people think alphas, they think the annoyed grunt boys.
And Jeff Westbrook, the ultimate alpha.
Yes.
Speaking of alpha, A stands for A. Brooks.
Oh?
Albert Brooks, probably the most alpha man of all.
That's true.
Return, Steve. This whole week going by, thinking, like, you know, what's it gonna be? You know, Albert Brooks, yeah. And finally he returns. I mean, come on,
is this our first A. Brooks episode that we've talked about?
I mean, it had to have been, which is great because after the break, we're gonna not talk to Albert Brooks. We couldn't get him.
No, of course not.
Could you imagine if we've never had a guest or someone who's worked on The Simpsons ever on this podcast?
Right.
But it'd be funny if, like, the only guest we ever got was Albert Brooks. Uh-huh. And then maybe Conan O'Brien just talking about the monorail episode.
And John Schwartzwelder.
We'll get Schwartzwelder. Yeah. And we'll get Lady Gaga, of course. We'll get Michael Jackson. That's what we could do. We could look up a psychic medium that contacts only, of course, celebrities in the afterlife, and we'll have them on so we can contact Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we can find someone on the internet who says they're a psychic medium and get them on for free.
Oh, yeah. Probably promote their own podcast.
Yes. Look, I'm just happy the episode started with a title gag. We haven't seen title gag in a couple episodes.
It's true.
And it's Chief Wiggum ziplining across the screen, getting stuck halfway. And then the Tex snaps his rope. And sorry, Wiggum's dead.
No more Wiggum.
Yeah. Ralph's in that purple crayon universe. And Chief Wiggum, you know, he appears later in this episode. ziplining, Steve. That's, I know there, I probably, but three, this is going to be the hat trick for me referencing South Park. Because I think I've referenced it the last two episodes, but I'm referencing it again. There was an episode where they did the whole ziplining. Do you remember that episode?
I do not.
So it's an episode where they just talk about how ziplining was the worst experience they ever had. And I think it ends with a live action sequence with the kids as actual kids in costume. It's an interesting episode. I recommend it. Again, not a South Park podcast, but
yeah, of course.
But zipline, never done it. And that episode of the South Park made me not want to do ziplining because it just is like, what's the point? You strap in and anyone who's ever had to wear a harness, any guy who's ever had to wear a harness where it goes under your legs around the crotch region, it's not comfortable. And I don't want to be like ziplining down with the male organs being
right, crushed.
Yeah, crushed. I pay people to do that on Saturday nights. Is this something that you would want to do, a zip line?
In my head, it sounds fun for a second to like glide through the woods. But what you're saying also just sounds like a bummer. The closest thing that I've ever done to having zip lined is when I was six, I had a 2-pack G.I. Joe of Cobra Commander Zaymont and Tomax. And for those of you who don't remember, and I don't know how this is, but they were twin brothers who worked for Cobra Commander as businessmen by day, but bad guys at night. And so they would wear suits, but then they'd wear like, you know, the normal like G.I. Joe bad guy wear.
Which, of course, is Tommy Bahama.
Exactly. And if one of them got punched, the other one got hurt because that's how twins work. I don't know that from experience of my wife, by the way.
That's right. Your wife is a twin.
It was cool because the action figures came in a 2-pack. So you got both of them and they came with a zip line. So it was like a string that you could have them grip onto and then have them like, you know, slide from your bed to your desk or whatever. And so that's my experience with zip lines.
You know, you mentioned like the twins feel things. Every time I hit Danny DeVito, I hear Arnold Schwarzenegger in the back. It hurts.
My bald head.
When's Triplets going to come out?
I know.
I need to see. It was supposed to be Eddie Murphy, right?
Right.
Is it? I swear they were filming it because I remember even Ivan Reitman, who died 18 years ago, was working on it. And I swear there was like a behind the scenes footage. Like, wasn't he directing it? Where is this Triplets? Is it Eddie Murphy?
It is Eddie Murphy. It's in pre-production. Yeah, the only cast and crew that we have is two writers named Dylan Dawson and Lucas Kavner. And then we have
Julie's son.
Yeah, of course. We have a cast of four people. We have Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, Eddie Murphy, and Tracy Morgan.
Well, Steve, we're not here to talk about Eddie Murphy movies. We're here to talk about The Simpsons. Steve, do we have a couch gag at least?
We do. And, you know, I was talking about action figures. And so it's kind of relevant because a box is thrown into the living room and a pair of hands remove action figure versions of the Simpson family members and place them on the couch. And then a bulldog chews on the Homer figure, who lets out an annoyed grunt in response.
Well, we need to find out who let that dog out.
Who?
You know, I really want these action figures because these are like the nostalgia action figures for me. They look like the Star Wars Kenner figures where it just the legs and the arms only move. I think you can move their heads.
Right. Like sometimes. 5 points of articulation. Yes. That's it.
G.I. Joe was kind of revolutionary. Or the 80s G.I. Joe was kind of revolutionary because you were able to move, you know, everything. Elbows. Like, did your leg rubber bands ever break?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Very disappointing when that happens because
it was fun because you could at first spin their waist around and it would slip back. But if you did it too much, they would snap and their crotch would fall apart.
just like a real person.
Exactly.
As much as I love like those old Playmates 90s Simpsons figures, which we have a couple here in the studio, I want these, and they do them now. They're like the reaction figures, or the they're meant to look like those old Kenner Star Wars dolls.
Yeah.
Sorry, action figures.
I'll let you know that I do have a 3-pack of Troy McClure action figures in the reaction form.
Oh, yes. And so you're right. They did the Simpsons ones.
Yeah, they're limited releases, but yeah,
those I have those. Cool.
Yeah, I also have Milo from The Descendants, if you're into punk rock. He also has an action figure.
Marvel does an amazing set, that same size with the same articulations, but like the old like 70s or 80s costumes of the characters.
That's really cool.
But the graphics are great. But, you know, I'm an adult. You know, what kind of person would like a graphics on a toy box, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ooh, that's a John Waters reference, and he might be referenced later in this episode.
There you go.
But yeah, the Simpsons set, like, make a play set, like the Simpsons house. Like, could you imagine, like, I would totally buy here's their living room, here's their kitchen with the dining room, and then like it's almost like a Kinect set or like a Lego. You put them together. I know you have the Lego Simpsons house, but if it was made to scale the Simpsons, like to even the point where like, you know what, we've released the whole house, let's make the basement set now. And
oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
Just an action figure for like, just it would sit on my coffee table. Like most normal human adults have, you know, on their coffee table, flowers or coffee table books. No, I would have a giant Simpsons house where I could lift up the roof. Oh, you know, the attic too, with like a Hugo action figure in there.
The basement could have a Bender action figure, and then also the big wooden or the big stone gift. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's like a mail away gift. Like you have to buy like 4 boxes of Simpsons cereal.
Got to cut off the UPC. Yep.
And then some people just like, yeah, screw it. I'll just pay $80 on eBay to get it. Collection was so much cooler back when it was harder to get. Now everything is so easy to get. It's like going to like comic book stores or just like conventions or antique stores and finding something. Whereas now you just go on eBay and like, oh, I want the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles dressed as Star Trek. I can get that. Whereas more about the challenge of like, I found Donatello at this one place, and then 2 years later, oh, I finally found Raphael.
Right. There's a Michelangelo, but he's not in package.
Yeah.
And all my other ones are in package, so I can't get that one.
So that's what I'm thinking, is like eventually one of these days, I'm just gonna like sell my entire collection. And then if I really miss it, yeah, because they're all in a room that I only frequent when I do this podcast. But if the Simpsons, of course, make those cool action figures, like this is a couch gag. Wow, how far are we into this podcast? We haven't got to the full episode. And I think, you know, it's 30 minutes in and we haven't even got to our first clip yet.
Yeah, we haven't even begun the episode.
Let's just do it. Okay, Steve. And it begins, as every episode of The Simpsons does, with Homer and Lisa debating over the merits of local media when they learn some shocking news.
So eggs, which were bad, then good, then bad again, are now good again. And wait a minute. Now they're bad again.
I can't believe you still watch the local news, Dad.
Local news is great, sweetie. It's just like your precious internet. Except you don't post angry comments. You yell them at the screen. You call those lottery numbers? You call that a weather report?
In other news...
You call that a segue?
A heartbreaking story today at one of Springfield's oldest establishments.
Stupid local news. Always making everything sound like the end of the world.
Springfield's Bolarama is closing forever.
No! Why does every place nobody goes to anymore close?
Oh, well, a lot to unpack in that clip, Steve. The beginning, I love Kent Brockman about the egg thing. God, how many times, like, growing up, you hear, littered with eggs. It's like, they're good for you.
Oh, yeah. They're bad for you.
They're bad for you because all the cholesterol. Then, like, oh, they're high in protein, so they're good for you. And then, only eat the egg whites. The yolk's the bad part. Oh, no, the yolk is fine. Just eat eggs.
If you want to eat eggs, eat eggs. I actually saw an article recently online about Simpsons jokes that people didn't get as children. And there's the one about the egg council. And people thought that was just random goofiness, but they were actually making that joke back then about how eggs were healthy or not. And frankly, I go back and forth on eggs, not because of their health value, but sometimes they're really fucking gross to me. And then sometimes they're delicious, and it's weird.
Yeah, we've talked about this before the podcast. Again, we were talking about 6 things, and eggs being one of them.
Yeah, the egg ick.
If you're cooking them, it's great. But if someone else is cooking them and you're not planning on eating them, they're gross.
Yeah.
hard-boiled eggs for me, like, I like them in theory, but then a lot of times I don't like them because I guess it just all depends on how they're prepared. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're green, I'm going to be mean.
If they're yellow, you're going to be mellow.
Yeah. If they're I like more of a soft boiled egg over the hard boiled egg. I like my yolk a little creamier.
Me too. I like a gooey egg, and
gooey.
My wife and I, we have different egg opinions, or egg opinions, if you will. And so she likes a more hard cooked egg, and I like them a bit gooier. So it's just, we got to sync it up right. And we also have to be on the same team when it comes to pro egg or anti egg. Otherwise, our breakfasts are just chaos.
Like, you're at a diner,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting your breakfast, and the waiter says, how would you like your eggs?
Over easy. I want a runny yolk, and I want to dip my toast in that yolk.
I think I can do that. I'm kind of over a medium, too, because I still like a little give on my yolk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm over medium. Sometimes I'm feeling adventurous. I'll say a poached egg.
Ooh.
But that's only when I'm feeling adventurous.
Right. So an adventure.
Yeah. Scrambles for the kids, but there's nothing wrong with a scrambled egg.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think that's just if you don't cook it like Gordon Ramsay does, then he's not gonna hire you. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. But I like a quick high heat scramble. Just get it in, get it out, you're done. It's good.
Just like your sex.
Exactly. High heat, very fast.
Get it in, eggs get it out.
Yep. A little bit of shell in there.
What?
I don't know.
You salt and pepper it at least?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay. I think Steve has given me crap before that I still sometimes watch the local news.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like to know what's going on in the community.
Sure.
Most of the times when I turn it on, though, it's majority of the reason it is for weather reports.
Of course. And the Futurama, or some Futurama, the Bowlerama.
Have you felt that way about something that you either remember going to or cherishing that's like going away?
The one local thing that shut down that was breaking my heart, even though I didn't frequent it, was a local restaurant known as the Montage.
What? It closed down?
Yeah, it's a food cart now.
I remember that. That Steve and I used to frequent the Montage before we were 21, because it was one of the few places in Portland where if you were under 21, you could still go in, and they stayed open till like 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it was like a kind of like a Cajun inspired restaurant that was
cafeteria style seating.
Right. But it seemed kind of fancy. And whenever you got food to go, they put the shape, the aluminum foil in the shape of animals like ducks or a sword or something.
Yeah, it was. We had so many like nights there.
Oh, yeah. It was a great place.
Pre and post 21. And it was also affordable, too, because you just went there to get the mac and cheese. And I think at the time it was like $6 for just the mac base, but an extra like $1.50, you could get like a protein.
And if you were in your like early 20s and didn't have a lot of money, but you wanted to take a date out.
Great. First
it was a great spot. Yeah, exactly. Because it's busy. It's happening. And it feels fancy, even though it's not really. And yeah, it was a great spot.
I do miss the Montage. That was a great place. Yeah. R.I.P. Montage. Food cart. What did you get at the food cart now? Is it still like mac and cheese?
I think they have a limited mac and cheese menu and maybe a couple of other like fried things, but that's about it.
Does the order that you, does it come in like a foil wrapped swan?
I think so. I hope so.
All right. Well, we'll never find out.
Yeah, I know. I'll never go there.
Okay.
But I'll miss it a lot.
I hope our fans will feel the same way when we have to hang up our podcast hats.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I miss that podcast.
At least someone will miss us. It's going to happen eventually. I mean, nothing lasts forever, guys.
It's true.
I mean, one of us could die.
I mean, we're all dying in a way.
No! That's a spoiler to a clip later in the episode.
Yeah.
I got my kernie on. Speaking of dying, Steve, let's get back to The Simpsons.
A funeral, speaking of dying, for the Bowlerama is held at Moe's Tavern. Who requests that you please don't drink and eulogize? Inside, pin pals Homer, Lenny, and Carl, alongside Coach Moe, share fond memories of the bowling alley while slipping shots of vodka from the finger holes of a bowling ball on a velvet pillow, which sounds delightful. Homer recalls the magic of the alley, where he was initiated into one of the greatest wonders of his life. Homer then flashes back 25 years earlier, where Raphael introduces him to a new fad known as nachos. At first, young Homer is skeptical, thinking it's just a stack of tortilla chips. But when that gooey fake cheese goodness is sprayed on those chips, little Homer knows he's licked the face of God.
There's something about that fake nacho cheese.
Magical.
And the tortillas. And then, if you want to, the jalapenos. But you can't, like, every like jar thing in the store, mm-hmm. it doesn't, have we already had this conversation? How like the nacho cheese just doesn't feel right. It needs to come out of that spout.
Yeah. That little dispenser is what it's all about.
Like the, you go to the ballpark or the theater, that's the nacho cheese to get.
Oh yeah.
And Raphael looking luxurious hair, young.
Yeah. Good mustache.
Yeah. Good looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, he, like all people, gets ugly.
That's right.
When they get at least into their mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so funny. When I was watching this episode, the pen pals, who were the original pen pals?
Homer.
Apu.
Who? Otto joined later, right?
No, Otto was an original one. It was Homer, because Burns joined in.
Right.
So it was Homer. Was it Apu? Man, we're supposed to be.
So it's Mo, Homer, Apu, and Otto. And then later, there are other versions where it's the Moe's four of Homer, Barney, Lenny, and Carl.
So it's so interesting that I'm watching this episode looking for like nitpicky things, and they have the pen pals. Yeah. So the old logo was, like I said, Moe, Homer, Apu, Otto, but then Mr. Burns face, because that was, he created those shirts.
Right.
And, but now it's Lenny, Carl, but Barney's in it. Yet Barney's nowhere to be seen this episode except for images and photos.
Right.
And
which is weird.
And then, you know, Moe's wearing, it's so weird, Nick, because now Moe's original part, was there a reason why he's just the coach now? Because like on his like little pocket has a picture of him as coach in his face, which I thought was a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason why that Moe doesn't bowl with him anymore?
I don't know. I don't.
Can I also bring up, I know we're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Apu is not in this episode yet. Sanjay and Mint Julep are seen in the background, but not Apu.
That's very interesting.
So we have a missing Apu. We have a missing Barney.
Because mm-hmm.
it's called Barney's Bowl-O-Rama, as we Simpsons fans know that it's his uncle, right?
Right.
That owns the Bowl-O-Rama, but now he sold it, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of like,
there's a lot of lore, because like one of the main points of Tapped Out the game is the fact that there was an explosion. They had to remove the bowling alley.
Mm-hmm.
It's had different hands, but it is Barney's Bowl-O-Rama.
Right.
But it is weird that all of this talk and Barney is not in this episode.
Hmm. There's probably a reason. And again, we watch episodes at random through seasons 11 and beyond. Like, because we know seasons 1 through 10, like in the back of our hand, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's something we're missing. And we'll find out through our journey together, Steve, as we hold
That's
hands.
That's right.
Yeah. So back to that clip of Homer, his memory. He's diving into that belly first into like a mountain of cheese covered chips and a river of nacho cheese. You kind of see some green specks. I'm thinking those are some jalapeno bites.
Yeah, I think so.
Suddenly, like a whale shape of adult Homer's head eats the little boy with delight. You know, he's even got a blowhole too. It's very nice animation going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings us back to the present day, thanks to Mo. And he's kind of wondering if the fantasy was his or little Homer's, but it doesn't matter because Homer can't allow a bowling alley to go out of business. I love the ongoing gag of the thought memories, the vision memories throughout this episode. I think it's really delightful.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so luckily Homer has a plan, right, about the bowling alley. So he, Lenny, and Carl would go to the alley and park their butts on the manager's face and never, ever leave. So they head out, and Mo remarks that if the alley stays open, he'll go out of business. But, you know, the avid bowlers don't seem to care. I like how, like, I forget who says it, but like they go out and saying like, oh, let's go to the bowling alley where the beer's better.
Yeah.
Realizing how depressing his own bar is, Mo just decides to join the pen pals as a coach. And then he flips the open sign to you to say, gone mobbing. Very funny.
I like that. A couple things from that scene. Nice touch of Carl reading the Brunswick ball catalog, which is, you know, Brunswick is the brand for bowling balls.
As we all know.
Also, did you notice something's missing from Moe's?
Yeah, the TV.
That's true. That's it. No. Al Jean had a contest over the weekend that this aired.
But was it a real contest, Steve?
No, he asked a question on Twitter.
Yeah.
What was missing? And then he showed a different shot of Moe's. You couldn't really tell. But they removed the cigarette machine from Moe's.
But the TV's not there either.
Yeah.
And there's some banners that are missing, like some pennants. Like there's no Isotopes or Duff stuff.
Yeah, the Moe's is kind of looking bare, actually.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
At the new Barney's Bowl-O-Rama, 10,000 pins are being sold explicitly for the use of bowling. Inside, the manager tells Homer and the gang that the lanes are so warped that no one wants to bowl anymore. Hans Moleman then throws a ball, which makes it a quarter down the lane, and then snaps back, knocking him over, which looks very painful.
So good. There's so many painful gags in this episode. It's a very funny one, though.
Yeah, it makes me fear bowling balls.
You know, there's that joke of the 10,000 pins are being sold explicitly for the use of bowling. There should have been like an asterisk, like no Crow T robots from MST3K models to be made.
That's funny. That's a good opportunity missed. We then learn that a hipster parent, Terrence, has a stake in the Bowlerama.
So I'm selling out.
Relax, people. I bought the alley because I love the retro vibe. Did you know John Waters wears bowling shirts?
Yes.
I'm going to turn this amazing space into the Bowlerama at Springfield Yards. You'll be able to live, work, doom scroll, cat cafe.
And bowl?
No bowling. Ugh.
Hey, pal, if you don't like bowling, you don't like me.
I don't like you.
Fair enough.
Terrence, give us 1 week to make this alley a going concern. You'll have more bowlers than a hat shop. We'll prove you wrong.
Ugh, can't you just prove me wrong now? I hate waiting for anything.
1 week.
Well, I hate waiting, but I love being proved wrong. You're on.
Is this the first time we've had Fred Armisen on the show?
No. So he's appeared on the show a couple times as Terrence, a hipster parent. We first reviewed him or first met him on season 24's The Day the Earth Stood Cool, which was our 131st episode, which aired in August of 2021. He's from Portland, and his wife is played by Carrie Brownstein, also, you know, from Portlandia fame. And I think he had a donut shop that moved into Springfield, and Homer was enamored with the coolness of him, but then he realized that they couldn't keep up. And also, yeah, the joke about John Waters wearing bowling shirts is a great callback to the Simpsons lore.
Can I also like bring up how the Simpsons view hipsters is the same, like the drawing or the style of them? Because if you look at Milo, the cool comic book store guy, I think voiced by Jack Black, right? They all look the same, because that's what hipsters look like, right?
I mean, no.
I don't think I ever see fedoras or derbies like hipsters in this town.
You know what's funny is I think that's what it is because they're probably looking at LA hipsters who have a bit more money and are like, they go to fancy boutique shops and spend $300 on a t-shirt and a bowler or whatever.
Are these the same jerks that wear scarves in the middle of summer?
Yeah.
That's great.
And here in Portland, we have the beanie hipster who wears like Chelsea boots and Carhartt jeans.
Or toques, Steve, for our Canadian listeners, for the hats. That's right. They're called toques.
Yeah, toques, which, you know, I am guilty of wearing on a regular basis.
Oh, I wear them all the time.
Yeah, and my bald head gets cold, so it happens. I think that the Portland hipster is a bit more rustic. Also in that clip, Terrence talked about buying out the bowling alley and making it, not a bowling alley. I don't want to continue with too much Portland specific stuff, but there used to be a bowling alley in Portland called Grand Central Bowl. And in the 80s, my sister's husband's mom,
boyfriend's mother's roommate, former college roommate,
owned the Grand Central Bowl, and they eventually sold it. And then about 10 years ago or so, it got bought out by a company, and they redid it to make it like fancy. And so there's like boutique restaurants in there. There's craft beer. There's craft cocktails. And so bowling, a night of bowling out costs like $100 for two people. And it's just such like the worst part of like Portland being Portland, of like making something so simple as bowling and making it cost prohibitive and just fancy unnecessarily.
Bowling was the cheap family outing as kids, right?
Right.
Probably a dying thing for parents to go out to, because, you know, all these kids want to do these days are go on TikTok and eat ass.
That's right.
Back in our day, we didn't eat ass or go on TikTok because we didn't have phones or the knowledge of eating ass.
Right. And when I heard about TikToks, I was looking at my watch.
I was like, that fucking creepy robot from The Return of Oz?
That was scary.
Yeah. I don't want to deal with that bullshit. That was the scariest fucking movie I've ever seen and will ever see.
Yeah, it's frightening. Don't look at... Why was that movie made? It was...
My mom showed me Return of Oz, and I was frightened. She's like, I'm going to calm you down. I'm going to put The Exorcist on. And it did. Like,
yeah,
it's
like
a calm movie.
Nice and sweet.
Yes. Fucking Return to Oz.
Absolutely.
Hey, let's just get back to the Simpsons. Okay, so Kirk and Luann Van Houten arrive at the alley for Homer's promotion, which is a night of everlasting bowlmates, which can mean like two stoner buddies too, right? Like
exactly.
Everlasting bowlmates. Hey, Dave's not here, man.
Who's Dave?
No one will get that reference. Like, We don't have any boomers listening, so that no one's going to get this.
I barely get that reference, and I get it.
Homer gives them some roses and some champagne, and a couple ponder, like, skipping the bowling, just going straight to the bowling, if you know what I mean. But Homer, he's got other plans, giving them bowling balls and pushing them onto the lanes.
So Bart then arrives with his schoolyard chums, ready for his birthday party. Homer told him that the party would be at the Laser Tag and Crocodile Ranch, which sounds like a lot of fun, rather than the bowling alley.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
It would be. Because you could shoot the crocodiles with lasers.
But I want it to be like in like a Coliseum, like the old Romans did. Like,
yeah.
Like I would sit and watch kids play laser tags while crocodiles are around.
That'd be great. But Milhouse wonders how old the Bolorama is, noticing that the Fruitopia-like soda vending machine doesn't even take phones. I love him trying to like scan his phone on a thing.
Which is really weird for people our age, because when I see you're allowed to like use credit cards and vending machines, like I'm like, I don't trust this.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's weird.
Like I am still like nervous about like the scan the chip on your credit card. I'm like, no, I want to swipe. Because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to swipe. But like, oh, I can just tap. No, I don't trust this machine.
It's sketchy.
Yeah.
So as Homer hands bowling balls, wearing party hats to the kids, he brags that the alley is endorsed by a group that is popular with today's kids, ZZ Top. Or as they say in England, ZZ Top. Bart asks how many of the lame-o beardos are still alive. And Homer replies that all of them are, he thinks. And to be fair, guitarist and lead vocalist Billy Gibbons and drummer Frank Beard, the one without a beard, are alive. And bassist Dusty Hill sadly passed away in 2021 and replaced by longtime guitar tech Elwood Francis. And also,
did Dusty die from COVID?
No, other complications, but I think it might have had COVID related things. Right. Like he had pre-existing conditions.
Right.
But also, ZZ Top started in 1969.
Nice.
Yeah.
Steve, I remember seeing them in the year 1885 playing at the Hill Valley Courthouse Clock Tower induction or whatever.
But, you know, the kids would like ZZ Top because they sing about ass. Tush.
I do know they have some legs.
And they know how to use them.
They were all sharp-dressed men.
And the one that goes, how.
Is that, that's not LaGrange, is it? Is it?
It is. Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. let's not forget, Jesus just left Chicago, Steve. We're not doing good on this one. Let's double back and go to, the Simpsons.
Okay.
That was a subtle, Back to the Future 3 song was double back.
Nice.
All right. So at the dinner table, Homer complains that, the bowling alley attendance is barely up and the fire department won't even allow him to block people in overnight. he invites Marge to bowl the night away with him, but she declines, saying that bowling is Homer's thing. But Homer just wants one thing to be like it used to be. And Marge wants, to forget something that almost never was.
Please, I just want one thing in this world to be like it was. When I drive down Crypto.com Boulevard, I can barely remember which cannabis dispensaries used to be internet cafes.
I don't want to bowl.
Marge, are you concealing a secret about bowling?
Bowling and life begin in the hips.
Oh.
Woohoo!
Oh. There's something I never told you about my past.
The past? The past is past. Do you want to know every little mistake I've made?
Sort of.
Let's go bowling.
I watched Life in the Fast Lane, the season 1, episode 9, featuring Jacques, recently in preparation for this episode. It's a very good episode, obviously, and it's a lot of fun. But it's funny because the episode immediately after that is the one with Princess Casimir, where Homer goes out to the stag party.
You said Princess Jasmine.
Is it Cashmere? Is
that what I think so.
Yeah. not from Aladdin. And one, it's just funny how that episode is so scandalous because he was dancing with a stripper and the whole city freaks out about it. But to have those two episodes back to back where Marge is seduced by this bowling man and Homer is seduced by a stripper. And you're like, this is like I say, like episode nine and 10 of season one. It's just so funny, like through the rearview mirror of history, like how they painted the marriage to be so like on the edge. And obviously, they're happily ever after. But it's just funny how like so early on, they leaned in on that.
I think it's just the sitcom trope, right? At the time.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess so.
We got to do infidelity between the husband and wife. But it's interesting because this episode is kind of the answer to that, because Homer never found out about Jacques until now.
Right. Now, there is some internet complaining, because that's what the internet's for, wherein I think there's a clip show in season 6 that that references Homer being aware of this. But Al Jean said on Twitter that clip shows aren't canon, so it doesn't count.
So when Bart shook up that can of Dove beer and put Homer in a coma, that didn't happen.
That's right.
You know, it's funny. That's fine, because I skip all the clip episodes.
Yeah, me too.
That's the thing that doesn't exist anymore in TV. So I wonder what the last show was.
Ooh.
That did a clip show.
That's a great question.
Like,
I mean,
recent wise, like, I'm sure like the most recent show I can think of is Scrubs.
Yeah.
Ended 20 years ago. Like, I'm sure Scrubs did one, or
maybe Seinfeld, like How I Met Your Mother.
Seinfeld's last episode.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why people hated it, because it was a clip show.
Nobody likes a clip show.
Steve, one of these days we should do a clip show.
That'd be funny.
It'll just be a penis joke.
Yeah. Let's talk about eggs again.
Oh, Steve, you like G.I. Joes when you were a kid? That'd be too hard to make a clip show from this podcast, because one of us would have to go through the archives and
listen to our own stuff, which is
Steve, how many hours do you think of podcast tent we've made?
Oh boy. Well, this episode's about 4 hours long.
Let's average every episode to be like 90 minutes, just give or take, right?
Yeah. So
90... we're at 19,440 minutes.
So divided by 60.
So 324 hours.
Right. Divided by 24. So that's 13 days.
Steve, our podcast is almost a fortnight.
And kids love Fortnite these days. Okay, here's something to think about. This is episode 745 of The Simpsons, and their episodes are about 22 minutes. So that's 16,390. We've done more content about The Simpsons than The Simpsons have made.
But their content's tight and good. Ours is not. And we're using their content.
Right.
Homer introduces Marge to the sport of bowling, saying the ball may seem greasy and Marge shouldn't drop it on her foot. Is that foreshadowing for later on the episode?
Maybe.
To put in terms, Marge will understand. Homer says it's like rolling a Maggie. So Marge rolls her Maggie and gets a strike. And Homer then tells her to pretend she's hurling a roast into an oven 60 feet away. And Marge throws another strike. Marge continues to bowl in an incredible game, which of course draws the attention to everyone in the alley, including the awesome mascot Strikey, who has a bowling bowl for a head and bowling pins for hands and legs. Maybe Strikey is actually Barney and this is his job.
Oh, maybe. And if so, good on Barney for losing some weight.
Yeah.
I love Strikey. Strikey is great.
I like how everything that Homer is saying to Marge, just like, she's not listening to him. She's like, I know how to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, nothing he says.
He doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. So Marge finishes off a baby split with company, impressing Lenny, who compares her to a 60-year-old Teamster. Marge shows off some skating moves, twirling into, we'll call it a triple lutz, before throwing yet another strike. And then another strike again, inspiring Strikey to dive into the lane, knocking over all 10 pins as well. Marge then takes off her shoes and twinkles on her feet a la Fred Flintstone and gets yet another strike. An octopus then resets the pins, complaining that it really needs to get back to the water, which is very funny for people who know what the Flintstones are. The octopus turns out to be Homer's fantasy, causing him to crave a Brontosaurus burger. But as Marge points out, he is not Fred Flintstone. Yabba dabba do.
Pronto burger, Steve. Pronto burger.
Pronto burger.
Yes. Yeah, this bit's really funny. I think the flashback type of thing is great. Like, again, yeah, sometimes they'll do like a dated reference and we'll complain, but I think this one is great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The sound effect of like her on her feet is just so good.
So Marge gets another strike. She requests a beer and the octopus then hands her several. This again is all in Homer's mind, and Lisa tells Bart that their father is in that world more than he is with them. This is funny because like all the dreams Homer's has, I just love this call out that Lisa's like, so he's like never present. He's just like, thinking of like So it's like half the Simpsons things that's really going on. Probably you're just all in Homer's mind.
Mm-hmm. Then yet somehow the kids can see the fantasy that
he's dreaming. It's really funny. Marge finishes the game with the impressive score of 267. She then asks Homer if he's upset that she's so good at his thing, but he's just impressed. You know, being mad at her would be like being mad at an angel for playing horseshoes. Marge is a butterfly that can kick field goals. But how did Marge get so perfect?
Well, Marge looks over at the bowling wall of fame and sees photos of Patty and Selma, Homer bowling a perfect game, and then the pin pals, and then a picture of the Holy Rollers, and even Sideshow Bob with his child in the baby bowling league.
Is the Homer with the perfect game, is that supposed to be the reference to when Maggie actually bowled it?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And the single balloon came down.
Yeah.
In the middle of all those pictures is one of a man known as Jacques. Marge is freaked out, but her fear is short-lived as Terrence has an announcement.
Attention! I have an offer to make, and like everything hipsters do, it requires everyone's attention. Hey, you! You're not looking at me!
Sorry.
Those pearls! That hair! The game of the 30s played by a dame from the 50s? It's retro on kitsch to the power of vintage!
Oh.
Here's the pitch, Marge. You bowl one game against the challenger of my choice. Win, and the alley stays open. Lose, and I turn it into a coffee shop so expensive, your eyes will bleed. Deal?
Deal. You're going down, Terrence. In your face. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. If there's any damage, here's a Best Buy gift card.
Fans out there, stop sending us Best Buy gift cards. We don't want them.
Yeah, and we don't drop our mics anymore, so...
Hey, that was one of my big complaints as being like a KJ back in the days. Like, sing a fucking song and it's like, and drop the mic. Like, no, you're not cool. You're just annoying. No,
you're not Eminem in 8 Mile.
Yeah, you're more like Vanilla Ice and Cool as Ice.
That's right. So our second act begins, as all second acts do, at Luigi's Italian restaurant. And lately, it's kind of been the case. This season's been kind of Luigi heavy. Servers Beppo and Giuseppe bring out a giant bowling ball shaped meatball on a bed of spaghetti.
Mm.
So it looks pretty good.
I think that as much as that like be fun, there's probably like the middle's probably super raw, right?
Yeah, that's, you're not going to get a good cook on that much meatball.
Unless that's why there's the holes for the fingers, because like they penetrated there to the core. That way the heat penetrates in those and maybe cooks.
Yeah, see, I mean,
should we make a bowling ball sized meatball and test this theory?
Because I mean, it could work, because what is a meatball but just a tiny meat loaf, basically?
And what is grief if not love persevering, Steve?
That's right.
I'm quoting WandaVision.
Very insightful.
Yeah.
Marge poses with the meatball for Luigi's Wall of Fame, and then the meatball is to be chopped up for today's special. Tomorrow, it'll go in the soup. Then it goes to the dogs. Then it goes back to the soup.
So that night, Marge is in bed, planning for her match. She envisions like 10 bowling pins and the mathematics required to knock them down. Homer can't believe Marge has never taken a lesson. So hearing this, Marge then imagines Jacques' head on the body of a snake. Not that snake, but like an actual snake.
Right.
Slithering out of a bowling ball return rack and hissing at her. She then looks over to find Homer dead with two fang marks on his chest, venom oozing out. And the episode ends.
Yeah.
Homer's dead. So Marge then snaps to reality, where Homer is so pleased to be sleeping with the woman who saves the town. Marge says she'll bowl the match no matter what danger it may bring to their marriage. But Homer, unaware of Marge's dilemma, wishes his lady of the lane a good night. And then he does the thing that Marge just did with the mathematics, but with pizza instead. So he thinks of eating out the pizza, which tastes so good off the ceiling as it does a floor. I think Woody Allen was right with that too, right? You know, the pizza and sex thing.
That's the one thing he's right about.
Yeah.
As long as you're not having pizza with your 14-year-old adopted daughter.
Steve, would you eat floor and ceiling pizza?
I think so. I mean, ceiling pizza actually sounds better.
Yeah, because we're not stepping on it.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Marge goes to lanes as well, going to practice, but she gets a gutter ball. Then another gutter ball. She throws again, and the ball hits Hans Molman. Poor Hans Molman.
He gets a good.
He's standing in the lane next door, and bam, gets hit. She tries again, and her ball hits the scoring monitor. She tries to throw a fifth time, and her ball smashes through the alley window and down the street. And then 10 Shriners, in their fezes and tiny cars, change positions to avoid the ball. Grandpa, leading the pack, says that they did to the ball the same thing that they did to Hitler's bombs. Got out of the way. Lisa notices that Marge has the yips, part of a larger gift that Lisa has, knowing when trouble is a-brewing. Sure, it's a sign of early neurosis, but it's irrelevant that her feelings are always accurate. As Lisa hyperventilates and passes out, Homer offers Marge the most exclusive level of therapist there is, a professional bowling instructor.
Hello, Marge.
Oh, God. Oh, come on. Please be another fantasy. Shoo! 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 Shoo!
Stop with the shoe. It is I in the flesh. You like the way I just said that word, flesh? I can make anything sound erotic. Garbage disposal. Toilet plunger. Lollipop.
Enough with the words. What are you doing here?
I brought him.
Homer, do you know who he is?
I sure do. He's the best darn bowling instructor in the city.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with a French bowling instructor.
Homer, may I speak to your wife, please, alone?
Hey, I don't need to know how the sausage is made. Just start grinding. Going to Moe's.
Don't worry, Marge. My interest in you is purely professional.
Why are you in my ear?
Yeah, would you rather I be in your nose? I don't think so.
How much do you think they, like, write for him, and how much do you think he ad-libs? Because I just feel like they let him go and do whatever he wants, and it's just always so much fun.
Yeah, I think, like, the cadence of, like, him, like, meandering with other thoughts, much like we do on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
How is that scripted? Like, I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's got to be him, and he's just so brilliant at it.
Like, it, like the whole, like, the last line of, like, why are you in my ears? Like, would I rather be in her, or be in her nose? Like, was that scripted? Maybe that part, but, like, just the ramblings that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, ASMR to his voice. Like,
it's so soothing. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just always a delight to have Brooks on the pod, or on the episode. I'd love to. Now, would you like, I think we'd be like more like Chris Farley when it comes to, if like interviewing celebrities, especially an Albert Brooks type, just because like, if you look at his work.
Yeah, his early movies. And like, I know we've probably talked about this before, but do yourself a favor and go to YouTube and watch our videos. But then watch Albert Brooks on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Ugh.
Any of his appearances.
Yeah.
All of our fans know him as Marlin, the voice in Finding Nemo, the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the movie with Brandon Fraser, the baseball one, The Scout. Everyone knows.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Right.
You know, there's a few things I haven't seen that I, you know, I kind of wish, or not wish, but I mean, I guess I can go watch them. Like, I still have yet to see Mother.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's supposed to be a good movie, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. I've never seen The Scout, but like Lost in America, I think, and Broadcast News are probably the top two I can think of Albert Brooks films.
Yeah, I've seen Lost in America. It's great. I have not seen Broadcast News.
I've seen Broadcast News from The Simpsons.
That's right.
And then the one episode from the last season of Curb was great.
Mm-hmm.
He was in This Is 40. I'm looking at his things now. I know that movie is like, he was in the Simpsons movie. Oh, cool. I like that. He was in two episodes of The Odd Couple. Wow.
No. Oh, and the new Dick Van Dyke Show.
Anyways, welcome to the show, Al.
Yeah.
So how can Marge be sure that Jacques' interest is in her is professional? So he states that if he's lying, he will never eat cheese again. And Marge is generally impressed. But then Jacques then tells Marge that to meet him at the bowling alley the following day at 10 o'clock. If she's not there, a good and decent man who loves Marge will suffer horribly. Then they discuss Homer, who needs Marge to win more than ever. So Jacques tells Marge not to worry, as they will never have an affair, because fair is a fair, and he loves her hair. I don't know why we're not using this as a clip. We should just put every our books.
It was so hard.
That's what she said.
To pick clips, because everything that comes out of Albert Brooks's mouth was just gold.
That's what she said.
I didn't know like when to cut it, because I could have had like 3-minute clips of just him talking.
And so this is, I think, kind of like we were talking about, like how much is scripted and how much is improv. You know, that's an interesting question. Maybe Steve, you should tweet at Al Jean, Jeff Westbrook, maybe Matt Selman too. And ask him how much is written for Albert Brooks and how much is ad-libbed.
I will do that.
All right, do that right now, Steve.
Okay.
And I'll continue the synopsis of this podcast episode that we're doing right now. And then to continue that rhyming couplets of the affair and hair, he says he's off in his Corvair. Of course, he doesn't own that Corvair. The Corvair is the first and only mass-produced American vehicle offering an air-cooled rear engine design, unbody construction, factor turbocharging, and affordable independent suspension. So the engine was in the back.
Interesting.
Is that what they're saying? Yeah. Is that? Yeah. It only lasted from 60 to... Production was 59 to 69. It's only 10 years. In April 1965, General Motors decided to stop developing the Corvair and to do only what was necessary to keep it legal to sell. The decision was made due to the strong sales of Mustang, and the Corvair was not considered capable of competing with it without a major redesign. Steve, how much is the Corvair worth these days? The average price sale price has risen every month since August 2019. What was the problem with the Corvair engines? The rear engine replacement in the Corvair caused a weight imbalance and resulted in poor handling. Ah, okay. Well, Steve, that just helps us figuring out what our gift is going to be this episode.
There you go.
So, yeah, of course, he doesn't know the Corvair, like I said. Anyways, let's go to the Bowling-O-Rama. Let's do a clip. No one wants to hear us anymore. We'll go to the Bowling-O-Rama when Marge is boiling in his underwear. Well, Homer and his dad, known as Abe, watch.
What kind of bowling instructor wears a turtleneck? I don't say mark my words often, but mark my words, he's up to no good. Mark my words.
What? You're crazy. I'm getting 6 beers.
So should I start my slide earlier?
A better question is, what are you still doing with him? Clearly he must have changed his ways, huh? Improved? Lost a pound or 20?
Yes, he has. In too many ways to mention. So I won't.
So, then he's not still buying you bowling balls for presents, is he?
He apologized for that.
Do you ever think of the night you almost came to me? I had showered 4 times. I shaved my face 2. I shaved my back 1. I was ready for you, Marge. Later on in the evening, when the doorbell rang, I closed my eyes, I opened the door, and I kissed. Unfortunately, I forgot I had ordered takeout. It was some 20-year-old kid holding a roast beef sandwich. Apparently, he came out the next day.
So, fun thing about that clip is Jacques is talking about the night that Marge almost came to him. And Jacques says, I forgot I had ordered takeout. But if you look at the closed captioning, it says, I forgot that I ordered DoorDash, which is interesting spawn con for closed captioning. So...
it was probably a last minute thing. Like, they're like, you know what? Simpsons fans are going to be annoyed by that because DoorDash didn't exist in 1989.
Right.
Or 1990. And they're going to hate that. So say order takeout.
Yeah, that's you're probably right.
But and maybe they didn't get to edit that. Yeah.
Yeah. But good on Jacques for helping the driver discover, you know, their truth. So good on them.
And you know who that driver was, Steve?
Who's that?
Gore Vidal.
He kisses boys, Lisa. So as Fat Tony shoots his bowling ball in the background, Marge pleads to Jacques to stick to bowling. He claims that he's the only one who can help Marge win. And if there's anything a Frenchman wants, more than a beautiful woman, is to beat Americans at the game they love. And then, of course, a 12-course meal with a fine wine, maybe a stale, and somebody else at the table to pick up the check.
Throwing some shade at the Frenchies there.
Oh, yeah.
Jacques is then sings the song to the tune of a Come Fly With Me, inviting Marge to bowl with him in a platonic way. Abe asks his son if he's worried, and Homer would be if not for the fact that no man has ever lost a woman to a professional bowler. And then we see this like portly bowler enjoying the company of two younger looking women. I'm like, is this supposed to be a reference to somebody?
I was kind of wondering that myself, and I don't think so, but
it's weird
how specific they are.
Yeah. He then offers to massage Marge's shoulders in a strictly professional manner, of course. Marge enjoys the rub down, but tells Jacques to quit. And Abe taunts Homer, singing that he was right, then offers a way to get more information out of the French Lothario.
Now, son, if I need the 411 on some 111, I consult my network. Old people with nothing better to do. You can learn anything you want from discarded human beings. Jasper, it's Abe. I need any information you got on a slick-shoed Casanova. First name, Jock.
Ernest.
We need the rundown on this Marquis Despair.
We'll lay him lower than my earlobes.
Hang him as high as my pants.
There will never be another Tony Orlando.
Take a gander at his Facebook page.
Oh my God. Oh my God. What the? I don't know what shocks me more. These photos or that you know how to use Facebook.
Facebook.
Well, it's kind of funny because if you think of the demographic that uses Facebook now, it is like the boomers, right?
Mm-hmm, it is.
So Abe would be on Facebook. So weird.
I know.
But, you know, most of our fans are on Facebook. So thanks for using our Facebook page.
Indeed.
No, they're not on Indeed.
Oh.
Yeah. We're not looking to hire anyone.
Not at this time.
But if Indeed wants to be a sponsor on this podcast, we'd be more happy than to use Indeed. Are you looking for a job? Are you an employer looking for employees? Check out Indeed.com for
That's right,
all your Indeed needs.
It can connect you with skill sets and stuff.
See how good we are as pitch people.
Yeah, I think I found a job on Indeed one time. So, yeah. I like in that clip, too, when they're like looking at him.
Did you get the job or you just found one?
I found several. I did get one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Jacques is kissing a used Corvair in one of those clips, which is a nice touch.
He got his Corvair.
So at Fiesta Terrace single living apartments, Homer pounds on apartment 17, demanding to be let in. On the other side of the door, Jacques yells that he's naked. And if Homer sees him, Homer will feel inferior forever. Homer boldly responds that Americans don't know how to feel inferior, even when they should, which is true. He then steps inside and finds that Jacques' apartment is covered in pictures of Marge. Homer admits that while worrying about the bowling alley, he lost sight of the most important thing in his life, Marge. He vows never to take her for granted again, but Jacques claims that Homer has already lost her.
So the two men grab a bowling ball and begin to fence with him as Battle of the Heroes, composed by John Williams for the film Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, plays. Jacques threatens to ball Homer to death with breaking a ball over his head and then pushes Homer into the hulking bowling ball drill. But Homer breaks free. Like, the drill kind of hits Homer's head, right?
Yeah.
Then he pushes Homer into the ball polisher, which is a nice kind of callback, too.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving his dome, of course, nice golden glow, which blinds Jacques. Allowing Homer to throw a ball on Jock's flip-flop wearing feet. So Jacques is jumping up and down in agony as Homer throws a ball at his feet again. Homer then demands some information from Jacques. So let's hear a clip.
Now tell me the one thing I have to know. How far did you get with Marge?
We had brunch. No hot food.
Brunch? That's breakfast getting it on with lunch.
Homer, wait! Nothing happened with him. You probably don't even remember. You had disappointed me, and I was upset.
Oh, right. I remember that exactly.
Before we get into the one time that Homer upset Marge, you know, this kind of paints Jacques in even a worse light, because there's a lot of photos of Marge in this clip, and, like, there's some of her sleeping.
There's some of her on the couch. There's one that's really weird, and I don't know if it's a reference to like a photograph, but there's one where like she's like wearing jeans, but like bent over.
Yeah.
Like, what is this from? we've seen probably Marge wear jeans at some point, but like, was Homer just be like, hey, Marge, bend over and I'll give you a frosty chocolate shake.
Oh, God.
That's only Homer voice I know how to do.
Sure.
And the Bart's all like,
hi, caramba.
Wait, Miller else is here?
Jacques, aside from, like, you know, attempting to commit adultery, is just kind of a pervo creep.
Right.
Yeah.
It's weird because I remember Al Jean contacted us once, and he's like, I want to look at Steve's bedroom real quick. And we said, sure. And he came in and looked and was sketching. And then when I saw this scene, I'm like, wait, he just drew Steve's room.
Yeah, it's true. I got Marge everywhere.
But there's some fun clips in Homer's memory, Steve. What do we have?
We have Homer getting married to Amber Simpson from Viva Ned Flanders.
We got Homer oogling Maude Flanders in The War of Simpsons.
We have R.I.P. Homer pleading with Marge and the kids from A Brawl in the Family.
There's running out of the theater with his butt stuck in a chair with Walking Big and Tall. I don't remember that episode.
I don't think we've gotten there yet. We have Dancing with Princess Cashmere from Homer's Night Out, the episode after. Yeah.
Crashing his ice cream truck outside the house from Ice Cream of Margie with the light blue hair. I don't think we watched that one yet.
We have not reviewed that one. I vaguely remember that Homer has an ice cream truck, but that's all about it.
Kind of remember that one too. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have Homer wearing a welcome mat as pants from Summer of 4 Foot Two.
Great episode.
So good.
So Homer tells Marge that if she stuck around for all of that, as well the stuff that she's unaware of, she must really love him. I wonder what, like, because there's just like so much. Like, you could do a whole episode or maybe 734 hours of just everything that Homer's done to piss off Marge.
Like, yeah, because there's who quick shots of other ones there too.
Yeah. It's great though. So Homer tells Marge that if she stuck around for all that, as well as the stuff that she's unaware of, she must really love him. But Marge does love Homer with all of her heart. And then they kiss. Jacques is disgusted by the committed relationship. And in this clip, Marge confronts Jacques about his promise.
You said it was strictly bowling. You swore on cheese.
I never cared for cheese. What is it even? Is it an appetizer or dessert? Nobody knows. Some come, they look okay. Other come, they got holes in it. Those are the more expensive ones. Why would you pay more money for holes?
We're leaving.
Go ahead. Enjoy your endless bourgeois celebrations and your birthdays and your anniversaries until you crumble into enviable bliss.
We will.
The cheese rant there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great. Like, you pay more for holes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I went to see the movie Holes, I had to pay an extra.
Right. And I was buying a sex robot. They charge more if there's holes.
So there's a weird like sound effect at the end of this clip.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to pinpoint, like, it sounds like a fart, Steve. I know we don't work blue on this podcast.
Of course not.
But like, listen to this.
We will.
What was that?
We will.
That's barely a fart sound. That's like a.
I know. It's almost like a.
Steve, can you tweet Al Jean real quick and ask him what the sound clip was, when Marge says we will and leaves? And what was that?
We will.
Supposed to be, because there's like no, like, the workup, there's no like maybe because he was talking about cheese and can cheese make you gassy? Yeah, I mean, it can mess with your organs. Maybe I don't know. What is that sound? Let us know at 13simpsons@gmail.com. What do you think it is?
I don't know, because it sounds like almost like an unwinding sound or like a fishing rod. Like,
oh yeah, I hear that. Let's hear it again.
We will.
But there's no like context to it.
No.
Enviable bliss.
We will.
It's a weird sound. I just don't understand what
it
is. We're going to have to ask Al Jean and Matt Selman and Jeff Westbrook.
Yeah, I'll tweet him in a moment.
Okay, so you do that while when we play the next clip.
All right. So at Barney's Bowl-O-Rama, the Super Bowl-ing is taking place. And friends and family and even Strikey have gathered around to join forces, donning Team Marge shirts to show their support. Terrence mocks Marge, noting that her coach quit and she can't get her head in the game. Marge tells him that her thoughts about bowling were conflicting with something personal, but not anymore. She then throws a strike. Terrence then introduces Marge's opponent, and it's Jacques. He's the master, she's the pupil. Now, he's very good, and so is she, though Jacques thinks that she's inconsistent, like French tennis players, great on clay, shambles on grass, hard court, an embarrassment. And as Jacques continues to mock French tennis players, Marge grows impatient. Again, that's probably more riffing by Albert Brooks, and it's just a lot of fun.
Well, the game begins with Jacques throwing a strike. It's kind of funny how bowling is the opposite of baseball. Like, baseball, strikes are bad, but in bowling, strikes are good.
That's true.
If you get three strikes in bowling, you get a turkey. If you get three strikes in baseball, you get out.
Right, and if you have a bat in baseball, that's completely normal. If there's a bat in the bowling alley, people are freaking out. You got to go, like, in baseball, somebody brings a hot dog to you. In bowling, you have to go and get your hot dog.
Is there a seventh pin stretch?
Well, you got your 7-10 split. Is it split up instead of a stretch? I don't know. Speaking of stretches, maybe we've gone as far as we can on this concept. The Yankees wear pinstripes, and bowling has pins.
No.
March responds. So the game begins with the jocks throwing a strike, but March responds with a split, but cleans it up quickly. Homer hands Marge a bottle of Duff, which she gives back to him. And so he chucks it and tosses it into a pile of empty Duff bottles. And then we have Terrence nervously watching the game, drinking espresso after espresso and throwing his Demitasse cup behind his back and into a pile of cups. The game is neck and neck, and Jock begins to sweat, dabbing his head with a slice of Swiss cheese.
Another fun callback.
Yeah, he likes cheese. The expensive.
But he's talking about the expensive. Yeah, Swiss cheese. Is Swiss cheese that more expensive?
I don't think it's that much more.
I'm not a big Swiss guy.
It's got limited use, honestly. It's good in a sandwich, and that's
like
about it.
Like a turkey.
Right, exactly.
Which, there you go. The Swiss bowling. Cheese, bowling turkey. Okay.
Bowling turkey, Swiss cheese. Swiss cheese has holes, bowling balls have holes.
Right.
Speaking of turkey necks, the game is neck and neck, and Jacques begins to sweat, as I just said. As Cletus signs up for a bowling ball installment plan, Marge gets a strike, and Homer spikes a bowling ball, and it bounces back, hitting him in the head.
Another great physical, yeah.
So as Abe sleeps, Bart sprays bowling shoe spray into his open mouth, and the score is tied at 95 when Marge notices that she has a broken fingernail. And Lisa, doing her best rendition of Burgess Meredith, jumps in to help.
Cut, man.
Are you sure, Ma? Are you sure?
Do it.
I've seen a lot of bowlers in my 8 years, but no one's got bigger pearls than you.
That's it, Marge. Le moment de vérité. And if that weren't enough, I am dying.
No!
Nah, as we all are. In the existential sense. Not now. Just roll.
Oh.
My God. She's left herself a Greek church split.
Which, though little known, is actually the hardest spare to pick up.
Oh, my God. I can read what's behind those pins. She still has feelings for him.
I love Lisa in that clip. It was just a lot of fun.
You know, we're going to talk about our MVJs, our most valuable jokester and favorite gags. The fact that she's just doing like the Mickey impersonation Burgess Meredith does and Rocky, like, what a delight. Like, Lisa has nothing to really do in this episode,
mm-hmm.
but like, such a great performance.
So good.
Loved it. And like that scene too in Rocky, when Rocky's all like, you gotta cut the eye. And like, it's such a graphic scene because they literally just take a razor blade and cut it because his eye's shut.
Mm-hmm.
They need to open it up and then just cut it. Oh, God, that's such a graphic scene.
Ugh.
Yep. Marge looks up, imagining the placement of her pins. So she envisions where the ball will strike to knock them all down. Eleni comments that she's been staring at that ceiling for 40 minutes. It's such a very funny thought of like, Marge staring at the ceiling for 40 minutes is like our listeners staring at the ceiling for 40 minutes. Like, why are we still listening to this bullshit?
Yeah.
These guys are the worst. I hate it. Sorry,
I hate talking about eggs again.
At least they're not talking about hogs. Oh, wait, they just did. Anyways, but Carl thinks that this is the most exciting bully match he's ever seen. So Marge hurls her ball and two pins go down and then two more and then finally the last one with the score being 184. But Marge is beaten. So Marge is beating Jacques by 2 points. So Jacques has lost everything. But just then, Chief Wiggum, who's alive, mm-hmm. arrives arresting Jacques for an expired bowling visa. As I always say, you make sure you have your bowling MasterCard.
That's right. Don't leave home without it.
Yeah.
There's another thing. You know, if you want to go bowling, you have to leave home. But if you're playing baseball, you're trying to get to home.
So he's going back to Perry, Steve. And so he mockingly complains that there's nothing there but sex and food and all of August off. Like, when you hear, as an American, you hear about how European countries have, like, at their job, like, they have, like, a month off of work. Like, their mm-hmm. vacation days are ridiculous. Like, we scoff at that as Americans. Like, no, you should be working 80 hours a week and mm-hmm. only get 2 weeks at most. Like, we've talked about before again on this podcast, like, we feel guilty as Americans going on vacation.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Taking time off shouldn't be like a guilty thing. It should be like, oh, I'm going to enjoy not working because my life isn't revolving around my job because I'm a multifaceted person.
And also like when you take that time off from your job and then when you come back after your vacation, you have to fix everything that was wrong.
Right. Like... That's assuming you're not answering emails or like working while you're on vacation because you can't get away. Yeah.
Yeah. We place too much on work in this country than spending time with like family and friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
And if you agree more, work for us. We're not going to pay you.
No, but we'll give you a month off if you want.
But yeah, so Zark continues his fake complaints about his home and country. Terrence talks about the future of Bowling Alley. And then Fred Armisen, of course, returns as Terrence and is talking about the future of the bowling alley while Marge and Homer discuss their own future. And it's probably going to lead in divorce.
That's right.
Back to France. Protests that are meaningful. The Eiffel Tower, which is pretty fun to go up a few times, even if you live there.
Well, looks like you're going to have to keep this a bowling alley.
A very popular alley, which I now own. I'm going to make it one lane only with a 3-month waiting list. Hipsters rule!
Oh, Marge, you saved my alley. You saved my ego. You do love me after all.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes!
You know, it's so funny when Albert Brooks is talking about Ejok, the French retiring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're right now in this time period we're recording this episode, there was a huge protest in France because was it Parliament there? Is that the French?
Yeah.
Like raising the age of retirement to 64?
62.
60. So they wanted to raise the retirement to age 62. Like no votes about it. Like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Whereas the retirement age in America is 65, which really is not a thing.
No.
There's so many people over 65 that are still working, and we have Social Security, but it's
a joke.
It's a joke these days.
Yeah. I mean, my dad worked until, 74, and he's working like 12-hour days.
And that's when you were born.
Exactly.
Steve, I think we need to take a second, take a break, calm ourselves, regroup, come back, finish up the episode, and tell the fans how we really thought about this episode.
Sounds great.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey, kids, we're a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and we're back. Let's wrap up this week's episode. Of course, Pen Gal. See, we'll talk about our favorite bits, some MVJs, if there is any, our favorite scenes. We'll talk about all that stuff. We'll obviously give it a nice little in-depth analysis. Short and sweet, hopefully. Find out what we're watching next week. Before we do that, Steve, it's time to give a gift. Something from this episode that sparked our creativity or imagination that you felt, hey, Craig would like this, or in my case, hey, I'd like this, but I'm going to give it to Steve. So, Steve, I guess I should probably give you the gift first because I don't want to be a jerk. You know what? I am going to be a jerk. Steve, give me a gift. What are you going to give me?
Well, Craig, I know you're a bit of a gearhead and you love to drive, and I don't drive, so this wouldn't be a good gift for me, but I'm going to give you a nice Corvair. It's a lovely car, nice Chevy Corvair. You can drive with your hair. You don't have to care. You can bring a friend or maybe bring a pair.
I'm just so nervous that if I drive it through the forest, I might get mauled by a bear.
There. I wouldn't care.
But can we drive it to Florida so I can watch a taping of my favorite Nickelodeon game show for kids, Double Dare?
Not the Legend of the Hidden Lair?
I think Temple. It's hidden
Double Dare. Yeah, I know. That's a stretch. And then, if you need to make some money, you can use that car for a ride share.
Steve. I got the title to this Corvair, but there's something wrong with my title. It has a tear.
Oh, no. You're saying that it needs a repair?
Well, it's just a piece of paper. I'm sure the DMV can print us out a new copy.
Yeah, I think so.
But sadly, Steve, you sat on the title in a chair.
Oh, no. It's all over my derriere.
What I really want from you is, to hold hands and go to the county fair. I don't know why I have to hold hands.
Don't you think that people would stare?
All right, we're done with this bit.
I don't care.
All right, Steve, so I have to give you a present. I knew it was going to be that Corvair. It's disappointing, you know, when you know what your present's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you disappoint me, Steve.
I'm sorry.
So for you, I'm going to give you an octopus with 8 beer bottles.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Since Jacques is being deported back to Paris, all the photos of Marge in his apartment, they're all yours now.
Right. All the creeper shots.
Yeah.
They're mine. All mine.
All yours. I know you have most of them, but yeah, these ones you can take out of the package and play with. And for your birthday, which is coming up in a couple of months, I'm taking you to laser tag with Crocodile Ranch. That's my present.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right, Steve, what about your favorite jokes? Is there a single line you like in it? Some favorite visual gags? MVJ, who made you laugh? I think I probably know and will agree with you.
It's tough because this episode is jam-packed full of good stuff.
Like Oreos.
Indeed. It's also vegan. I really like Lisa as Burgess Meredith was hilarious. Strike, he struck me greatly. Marge was really funny in this episode. Homer was really funny. I mean, obviously, my MVJ is, you know, the goat of guests of The Simpsons. It's got to be Jacques and Albert Brooks, just because everything he said was funny. Just so much fun. But I loved Kent Brockman in the beginning talking about eggs. And I love Lisa, you know, and Homer talking about local news. This episode is one for the books. I think this made me laugh a lot. I'm going to give my MVJ to Jacques, but honorable mention is definitely Lisa and Strikey. What about you, Craig?
I loved Yardley's interpretation of Mick. Thought that bit was great. And you can't go wrong with, like, hopefully that it's Albert Brooks if he does a lot of ad-libbing. Because every time he's doing a character, there's always those rambles. Even the beginning, I love the beginning, too, with Homer talking about local news was great.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I have to give it to Albert Brooks for my MVJ with the runner-up of Yardley.
I think that Fred Armisen did a serviceable job, too, as a hipster.
Yeah, yeah. You're right, because I totally forgot, like, until you mentioned it. I still think my favorite line reading was Yardley. So even though I love Albert Brooks...
That's fair.
Her cutting the... Also, all the slapstick physical humor in this episode was so cringy. Mm-hmm. in a good way. Like,
yeah,
that part where, like, when, like I'm saying, Lisa clipping the nail, like, we've all had that, like, bent fingernail, and, like, it just looks so gross and painful. Like,
mm-hmm.
the bowling ball fight with the foot, and then Hans Molman. Okay, I'm gonna give Hans Molman getting knocked down a couple times with a bowling ball. Fucking classic. Loved it.
Yeah, another thing that I'd like to mention is the fantasy sequences. Oh, like Homer, yes. You know, Homer with the sea of cheese, and then adult Homer eating kid Homer. That's hilarious. And then the Fred Flintstone thing. Ah, yeah. This is just, yeah.
I think we're into it now. Streamline the review here of how we're going. Steve, like, all in all, what do you think? Give us a ranking of, like, what you really feel this episode. I think it's probably unanimous between you.
Yeah. I've got no notes. This is just a great episode. I think it has so many fun callbacks, not only to Life in the Fast Lane, but to the John Waters episode, to, you know, all the times that Homer upset Marge. I think, and what's amazing here is that this could have easily been another episode where the marriage is in danger because Homer fucked up and disappointed Marge and she has to save him. And they're aware of that trope, but they avoid it because it's all about the bowling. And Marge doesn't even need Homer to become a bowler because she's already so skilled. But she does it and she saves the day. And Homer appreciates that he loves his wife more than the bowling alley. And so you still get the relationship, but they're so strong that it's kind of past that. And I love that. All the jokes are just hilarious. This is like, I don't know, this is like, we're reaching classic territory with this episode. And I think it just is a testament to how good Al Brooks is, because every word that comes out of his mouth just gave me joy. And you mentioned it about, like, it giving you ASMR, and I totally get it. This episode is like a warm hug of funny. I love this episode. You know, in the episode, they're selling bowling pins for the explicit use of bowling, and they had 10,000 of them. I'm going to give this, I'm just going to do it. 10,000 out of 10,000. This is a great episode. What about you, Craig?
Oh, I thought we were on the same page. No, I hated this episode. No. 0 out of 1 billion. Well, yeah. You couldn't tell I hated this episode?
I don't tend to listen to you much.
Oh, that's fine. No. Of course, I agree with you and everything you say. I got my feelings out. Keep it short and sweet, Steve. I agree with you 100%. And it's not just because Al Brooks' goggles and how we, you know, fawn over the man, but what he did and has done for comedy or just the entertainment. It's great. Albert Einstein, he was the E equals MC square. If people don't know, his actual name is Albert Einstein.
Ooh.
Albert Einstein was born on March 14th.
Hmm.
The real Albert Einstein, the E equals MC square guy, which happens to be my birthday.
That's right.
And my lucky number is 23. And as we all know, 23 was a dismal Jim Carrey movie. But Jim Carrey was also in Earth Girls Are Easy.
Mm-hmm.
With Michael McKean was also in Earth Girls Are Easy. And we all know Michael McKean is one third of the band Spinal Tap. And Spinal Tap, of course, being on an episode of The Simpsons, which also Albert Brooks has been on The Simpsons, right?
Once or
twice. And that's how they get my connection. And going back to Albert Brooks, we mentioned earlier he was on an episode of the new Dick Van Dyke Show, which I didn't know existed until this recording, which had a whole whopping 3 seasons and was also created by Carl Reiner. So Dick Van Dyke was the only guy to reprise his, not the same character, but so 3 seasons, that total of 72 episodes. Yeah. So out of 72, I get this episode, the amount of episodes of the Star Trek original series, 79. So 79 out of 72.
Love it.
This is an episode I think to rewatch. It's fun. I think what Steve said, he watched Life in the Fast Lane and then maybe watch the next episode after with the Prisoner's Cashmere, right? And then watch this episode. Is this kind of like a nice trilogy?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just having fun to have Albert Brooks back.
Yeah, I'd say this is probably like in the top 3 of season 34, certainly.
Okay.
For me, yeah.
All right. Well, Steve, should we find out if season 34 is going to be the top 3 next week's episode? Or, sadly, I'm looking at my computer. I should have looked into this. Steve, this is the last episode of March 2023.
Wow.
Because we're not back until April, mid-April. So, Steve, that means we have to use the old wheel of random, dust it off, because we're going to have to watch a classic
Glacier Castle
classic episode, that, of course, being from seasons 11 and beyond, and hopefully one that we haven't reviewed yet, because that would never happen, because we would edit that out if we did.
That's right.
So, Steve, we have a new and improved variant of the wheel of random, so there might be a new boo-doop instead of the usual one. So I wonder what that sounds like. Maybe you should give it a spin.
All right, let's give it a spin to see which season we're in. Boom, boom.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do!
Woohoo!
All right, we have season 15.
Season 15. Oh, boy. All right, let's give it another spin to see which episode we're watching. Boop, boop.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do!
Woohoo!
Do!
Episode 16.
Season 15, episode 16.
All right, see, what do you think the title is going to be?
We're probably talking early 2000s, like 2003, 2004. I'm going to say that they like maybe made an episode sharing one of their favorite shows that was also airing on a Sunday night on Fox. So Arrested Development, Bart.
Oh, I can see where that's going.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely wrong. Steve, the title of the episode actually is The Wandering Juvie.
The Wandering Juvie. Huh. Well, I know that there's a plant called the Wandering Jew, which is a plant, and it references the Jewish people's walk through the desert. Krusty the Clown is Jewish, but Juvie, maybe like JV, like junior varsity. So maybe Krusty becomes a football coach, and he has to coach Bart and the gang for a football team, but it's not Bart Starr. It's a different episode.
So after like what, 5 years later, like let's just plot again.
But it's Krusty, he's the coach. but it turns out that he's betting against his own team, and
Pete Rose makes an appearance.
Exactly. Am I exactly right?
No, you're exactly wrong, and you should go to exactly wrong jail. Which is, I guess, just jail.
Yeah.
No, Steve. IMDb says, after playing a prank on the whole town, Bart is sentenced to 6 months of juvenile detention. There, he meets Gina, who forces Bart to escape with her. Guest starring, none other than the Chosen One herself, Miss Freddie Prinze Jr.
Whoa.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, star of the hit Paramount Plus show Wolfpack. Steve, do you remember this episode?
Not even a little bit.
I remember this episode.
Oh.
So that's it.
Yeah, Bart goes to juvie. So interesting.
Yeah, this was written by none other than John Frink and Don Payne.
Oh.
And directed by Lauren McCullen. I don't know if we've had an episode directed by Lauren.
I don't believe we have.
Mm-hmm. Besides Sarah Michelle Gellar herself, we also get the great late great Charles Napier. Jane Kasmerick is back as Judge Constance Harm, so
yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
And as Bart Simpson would say, cartoons, America's only native art form. I don't count jazz because it sucks. I wonder if that's the I'm literally just reading that off the Simpsons wiki. I thought that was funny, but that must be the couch or the chalkboard gag.
Could be, yeah.
Don't know. But all right. Well, hey, you guys, you know what doesn't suck? Our fans.
That's right.
Our listeners. And we want to hear you not sucking by contacting us on social medias like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and even YouTube. You can contact us on YouTube. It's all at 138 Simpsons. Very easy to remember.
That's right. And you can always email us at 138simpsons@gmail.com. And hey, if you're so kind, go to your favorite podcatching app, leave us 5 stars and a review. But you don't need to write a real review. Just tell us what kind of a bowler you are and how much your ball weighs.
Check out our TeePublic site, of course, is teepublic.com/user/annoyedgrumpboys. Leave us a voicemail. It's simple. Just open the podcatching app, scroll down through the show's notes. There's a little button. Click on that. And we want to hear from you. Recommend us a beer or wine or a soda, any kind of drink. Tell us to drink whatever, except for, you know, gross things like Mountain Dew.
Or candle wax.
Yeah, I'd rather have candle wax. For this week, I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Craig.
And I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Steve.
And remember, bowling and life begin at the hips.
I don't need to know how the sausage is made. Just start grinding.
And now I'm off in my Corvair. Ugh, I don't have a Corvair. Horrible car.